hey guys, this is Hitch with See You on the Trail, and yeah, we got somebody new here.
Hello, everybody.
Tell us your name, man. What's your name?
I'm Seth Brown. Here to just help out, bounce ideas off of, and kind of be the devil's advocate at times if need be.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're looking down here. We got a whole bunch of paperwork here. We're working on stuff. We're trying to make this a really good thing. We figured out what your name is. Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
So we actually are in my hometown. We're in Noble, Oklahoma, just south of Norman. This is where I grew up. I graduated high school from, played all my sports, and moved from here to live in Moore now, which is just south of Oklahoma City, just a little ways north of here.
Yeah, no, and you've got a couple kids. You're married. And...
Yep, got married, two kids, and they love motorsports too. You know, when my wife and I got together, it was one of those things where I was like, hey, this is what I'm into. I grew up around it. It's not going to change. And fortunately, you know, she's mostly supportive of it, you know, as long as I'm, you know, tell her where I'm going and give her enough warning. You know, I think every wife can get a little upset if you just pop up on them like, hey, right. I'm going to the race this weekend without, you know, any warning. But she's great about it and she enjoys it too.
Now tell us be actually before you and Anna got together, you did military for a while, and tell us about that a little bit.
I enlisted in 2007, September of 2007, into the Oklahoma National Guard. I was wrestling in college in Muskogee at the time, a small little private school called Bay Cone, and enlisted and went to Fort Benning, infantryman, and ended up deploying to Afghanistan in 2011, 2012. Actually Anna and I got married right before that, so we've been married since then. This will be 12 years on Thursday. Thanksgiving is my birthday and my anniversary, so I just wrap it all up in one big bow.
That's nice. All right, cool. You only gotta get one present then, right?
Yeah, true. You know, it's budget friendly. We always have a party. Always have a get together.
Good deal. Now, you did a couple tours overseas.
Spent 9 months in mountains of Afghanistan.
Gotcha. I know a lot of the guys that are watching are part of that as well. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up.
Yep.
The question is, how long have you been following like Ultra 4, Dirt Riot, the whole off-road motorsports situation? How long have you been following that?
So honestly, from the beginning, I was on Pirate 4x4 back in the day, and I was active on that from high school, and I graduated in 07. So, you know, before I even got out of high school, I was active on Pirate 4x4. I, you know, grew up around this stuff, and I was really excited when the first King of the Hammers happened. I remember watching the live feed from the Pirate 4x4 van.
The old van?
Yeah, when it was just a drag race start, you know, with all the fan just lined up to make a drag strip down the lake bed. So I've watched it from the beginning, and then I remember when Dirt Rat came about from We Rock, and was excited about that because it brought some races, you know, closer, local. Like they ran at the Copper Mines and stuff like that, you know, areas that were more accessible for people that couldn't afford to go, you know, the Hammers and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's what's funny is it's kind of evolved. Back in the day, 2012, 2013, 2014, we were excited to have a race in Oklahoma. And now Oklahoma is the home of Ultra 4.
Yeah, I never would have expected or thought about that, you know?
It's crazy. So what keeps you interested in off-road racing?
Well, like I said, I grew up around it. And I remember as a kid, I'd say like, 10th grade, 9th grade, you know, everyone's trying to figure out what they want to do for a living. And I had three things I wanted to do. And one of them was work on race cars or build race cars. And the other two were join the military and wrestle in college. So by the time I was a freshman in college, I, you know, was accomplishing two of those. And then I ended up going to WildTech and spent, what was it, 15 months or a year and a half up there, went to school and came back and started doing it for a living, working on race cars and stuff. And so what keeps me interested now is just watching the evolution and trying to be a part of it, you know, from what I can. You know, I help out at races and, you know, now I'm helping out with this. Just doing anything I can to help the sport and help everybody out that wants help. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy the camaraderie, the family it creates, and the action. It's a different type of racing than anywhere else out there.
No, that's very true. And I think the first time we met was it Buzz the Red Dog 13?
We had talked online, like on Pirate and stuff.
Okay,
I think.
Gotcha. And then we did Buzz the Red Dog.
Yep.
And then you ended up going to Hammers with
Aaron Peters. Yeah.
Yeah, with Ape Eater, which we're gonna try to get Ape back up here and. We'll see if we can get him back racing, but I kind of doubt it.
I think let's either take one shock off or just leave it how it is and just go.
He could race 4,800.
Yeah, I know. Or just take it divisions and just go run some laps, you know. Yeah. He can be our camera car on the track, you know.
Yeah, no, that's probably what he's good at. That'd be perfect. Might as well give him shit. I'm going to try to get him up here. That's actually one of our sub studios is over at his place because he just bought a new place, had it built, and he's like, come over here and do something there. And I was like, all right, well, I've got a pretty good shop here, so we'll go from there. But let's quit giving Ape some shit. So we're going to get into Ultra 4 and the whole series. King of the Hammers, we're just going to run through it, what we remember from each race, and we may not remember a lot. So let's go with that. The first one was King of the Hammers last year. And
technically this year.
No, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's this year. It's the Daytona of our race series. Who won that one?
It was Blyler, wasn't it?
I believe it was. You can look at the points here.
Yeah.
Rusty Blyler.
It was Josh Blyler, wasn't it?
Josh, yeah, it wasn't Happy Pappy. It was Josh.
Or it could be no. It was Gomez this year.
It was a Gomez.
Yeah, it was Raul. 2,000 points, I think, is the max, and it was Raul.
Yeah, Raul Gomez won it.
It was the year before when Blyler won.
Yes, yeah, you are correct. Yeah, no. So we're looking at the points spread, and we're looking at it through Mid America with the difference between Mid America versus Ultra 4 Racing. We had to deal with that adjustment, which. Let's go ahead and bring it up. What do you think about the adjustment, about the trade?
So far, I think it's great. Everything I've seen has been up and going or up and coming. Everything's getting a little bit bigger, better. And nothing wrong with the way it was ran before in my eyes as far as an organization. But I think now it's getting an infusion of new life, some more money, trying to bring it to another level, which I think is where everybody wanted to. It wasn't quite getting there before. And now it has that ability. Payouts are getting bigger. The production quality seems to be, up a notch.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, we were looking at the payout. What was the payout for this year?
Payout for this year for regional championships, it went from $65,500 to $72,500 for each region. And I don't know if that's split between all the classes or not. It doesn't tell me that. It just the total payout. And then for the national championship points, it's gone from $158,000 to $182,250 for nationals. For national championships.
Now, the scary part about that is to be a competitive race car driver, owner, / whatever. How much do you think, now you're on the mechanical side of stuff, you're actually watching stuff, how much does it cost to actually build a race car like that?
Well, I would venture to say that the KOH winning car from 2022, the Gomez car, and I don't know if that's the fully independent car or one of their solid axle, rear solid axle UFOs, I'm going to say those cars are $250,000.
So you're talking 250, and you said that...
And that's just for the car. Just for the completed car, not getting to the race, all the fuel. I know the Gomez, they have, huge support staff with their team and their trailer, top of the line, everything. Their builder, Joe Thompson with UFO, top of the line, always, cutting edge stuff. I mean, you add all that up, they've got,
we don't even want to talk millions
into it, which... They also love doing it. They're not out there trying to do it as a business, but
no. And I don't think that many race car drivers in Ultra 4, I don't think they do it as a business.
There's a handful that I would say are doing it full time with no other income.
Believe it or not, I think there is one guy that does not have a day job and races full time.
Is that the same guy that can just let GoPros just sit around?
Yeah, I mean, this guy right here, he, Lauren Healy, you gave me this like 3 years ago. Not 3 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that.
And he won't even sign it.
He won't even sign it. Lauren, you need to have, you need to come over and sign this and we'll give it away. How about that?
That'd be actually that'd be a great idea. And like if you want it, you know, I want to put I'm in or something in the comments or email or something. And, yeah. And we'll do a waffle or a raffle, whatever.
A raffle.
They call them waffles now, but this would, I guess, just be a raffle because you wouldn't pay to get into it.
But yeah, Lauren gave me this. I lost all my equipment about 10 years ago. I lost it out of the back of a truck. It was a dumb idea. It was my fault. He handed me this and said, hey, if you can use this, use this. So I did. I used it for a few years. And then I've been hitting him up and saying, hey, can you sign this? And he will not sign it for me. So, guys, if you get him to sign this, we'll give it away. How about that?
Great. Peer pressure.
Yeah, peer pressure worked great. But no, Lauren is the guy, the only guy in the Ultra 4 industry, I believe, has been able to make Ultra 4 a living. He doesn't do anything else but Ultra 4 racing.
And I from what I know, I agree with that. And he's partnered up with some great people.
Oh,
there's a lot of other drivers.
Vaughn, yeah.
Like Shannon Campbell and the Campbell crew, they do race a lot, but they also have a business, Campbell Enterprises, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're working on other stuff outside of just racing. So the fact that someone can actually turn this into just the racing part of career is pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, now I'll tell you what, that's the only guy that I know of that started from scratch. He started in XRA and then came over and hung out.
And he had just a rock crawling background,
yes,
from what I believe.
Yeah, a rock crawling background. Chokecherry Canyon is his background, is his backyard.
That's northern New Mexico?
Yeah, okay. I think, yeah. But yeah, he's the only one that I can say is 100% racing funded.
Okay.
So, but anyway, but yeah, no, Lauren, you need to sign this, just by the way. I've tried it with kids and women, and he will still not sign it because I'm around.
Well, I guess now I can't go up because if he sees this, he'll be like, oh, I know you.
Yeah, no, he won't do it. So let's go ahead and go through Ultra 4 because Nationals is over with, and we already did King of the Hammers.
We touched on it. Is there anything else that you really remember?
Man, I wasn't there, and it sucks that I wasn't there. But
one thing I remember is the hill climb. They haven't done backdoor shootout for a while,
right?
Which I've heard rumors they're going back to backdoor for 2023, but that's just rumors I've heard, so I don't know for sure.
Where did they run it this year?
It was just outside of Hammertown near the where they do the Ford Bronco drop, like where they have the arch coming down the start finish line.
Gotcha, yeah,
and it was not a like hill shoot bounce up climb. It was, I think it was like that Iron Man, like Jesse Haynes fab rear steer portal buggy, crawled up it. There was Nick Nelson. He had a busted knuckle chassis with like a Whipple blown. And I know some of my details may be incorrect. Forgive me. But from what I remember, he's got a very healthy LS in it, maybe even a big block. I'm not sure. He was trying to, you know, shoot it with horsepower, and everybody was trying different things. But it was the actual rock crawlers that made their way up these huge ledges. But what I remember most about that is the drone pilots. They were like, cars were like sitting on the ledges trying to figure out what to do. And these drone pilots are shooting under the cars.
That's awesome.
During the race. I think they even went through like the cockpit. I can only imagine sitting there like, all right, what am I doing? Or you're like, you're nervous.
And then
you're
all trying of a sudden,
zoom, zoom, you know, like what the heck, you know, I can only imagine that, you know? Awesome. But man, the way they're doing stuff is just crazy. And that's awesome. I would just be a little worried, like hit a tube and bounce off. And be like, well, I got a drone now. I don't know.
So after King of the Hammers, which was amazing, then we got the 918 Grand Prix, which is when the whole switch happened.
Mm-hmm.
with Mid-America versus Hammer King.
Yes.
It switched, happened, and it was snowing.
Yeah. Besides, you know, at the Hammers, it snowed, you know, at night and stuff like that. But this, from what I understand, from what I know of the first time they've ever actually raced in the snow.
Yep.
In these cars. And I believe, forgive me if I misquote him, but Chip Mack, I think on Facebook, has said that was his favorite race ever to date. And yep. And he said it's not because he won it.
Well, if I remember right, that was actually a Rufus Sweet, because
I do believe so. 1 and 2.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 1 and 2, because RIP Mr. Zandy Willems
Forever 24.
Forever 24. He took second place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know who ended up third on that.
Well, and that was a no points race.
Yeah, that was a no points race.
So it's actually not even on the points list. Because from what I understand, they were compiling the schedules between what the series was going to be with Hammer King and then what the new Ultra 4 wanted the schedule to be. And that happened right before the 918 Grand Prix. And 918 Grand Prix. And so instead of making people rush to get out there unprepared, they did it as, hey, if you want to come race, come race. And if not, we understand. And which I think is a good move on their part, but the guys that did show up, I think, got something really special because they had snow on the ground.
Yeah, no. And they actually did a different kind of start there too, which was because they had everybody sitting in their pits on either side.
Oh, it was a Grand Prix start.
It was a Grand Prix start, but not side by side. It was a really cool.
Didn't they have everybody backed in?
Yep. And then
they didn't have the engine started. Mm-hmm. So they had to fire up and then take off like they used to do for Indianapolis 500 back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was really cool. Now let's go ahead and area BFE Utah.
That was, what's that guy's name? He's in one of those UFO cars now. Used to race side by side.
They call him Paul Wolf or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's when he really made it known that he was there to compete.
Yes, he did. I actually, the funny thing is Lauren came down to Noble. He went to he came down here through something Nitto or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I asked him. I was like, so what do you think about old Paul Wolf? He's like, scary. Because he goes. He's coming up on me big time. So, but yeah, Moab race is when he made himself well known.
Yes. And
he's been known in the side-by-side industry for years, or I wouldn't say years, probably what, 2 or 3 years, probably.
I think like so. That. He's been with Can-Am for a while. Yep. He's been one of the front runners at KOH in the 4900 class.
But
in the side-by-side class.
Didn't he also run the side-by-side in the 4400 class? Or was that somebody else?
No, I believe he was one of the guys that did that. And they were, I forget the other one. It was Jamie
McCoy.
It might've been Jamie McCoy. Maybe. I'm
maybe
not sure.
It was Jamie McCoy.
But there were two of them and they were competitive.
Oh yeah. They were right up there, man. It's amazing what a side by side can do. I remember back in the day in 2012, 2013, we had a race to Hot Springs. Ultra 4 had a race to Hot Springs. I say we just because I was a part. I just love being a part of it. But and I sent Dave a message. I said, hey, we got a side-by-side that wants to enter. And he goes, if they want to enter in the golf carts, if we got enough people, we'll enter them. And look what it's done now. It's ridiculous. It's
they're, I would arguably say, one of the bigger classes because even within that category, there's three classes I think within that category. Mm-hmm. And so like at Nationals, they had their own race. Like they weren't tagged up with stock or mm-hmm. anything like that. It was just a side-by-side race and it was nonstop.
Well, not to mention, I mean, at Nationals they actually had another race at a different location. Yep. Still racing
For the short course
course series. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big side-by-sides are getting bigger, man. They're mm-hmm. awesome. Next up we got Rush Off-Road, which to be honest, I don't know much about, and I don't know actually who won it.
I mean, we could probably try to break it down, but I don't either. I try to watch all the live feeds when I can, and if I can't, I try to go back and rewatch them. But so I don't know. Looks like Blyler maybe.
Blyler took Rush.
Because if 1,000 points is winner, yeah, Blyler won Rush.
Blyler won Rush. All right. And Josh, not
yeah,
Rusty.
Yeah, Josh Blyler. And I mean, both of those cars are very competitive, solid axle, Miller Motorsports cars. And I believe they own Big B Manufacturing or Big B Motorsports yeah. that actually produces those chassis.
Yeah, it's a full out produced chassis, just kind of like the Randy Slauson,
yeah, the Bomber Fab,
and Jimmy's 4x4 cars as well.
I don't know if they do those in like a pallet kit anymore. but you can buy that chassis, yep. and build it. So, but yeah, that's all I really remember from Rush. Then we had Prairie City.
Prairie City would be the next one.
I think that's like NorCal Rock Racing.
Yeah, I think they piggybacked on top of NorCal mm-hmm. with Goodby. And can you check the numbers? Because I don't remember.
Let's take a look. So we're looking at camera guy Lauren Healy.
Lauren Healy, guy that needs to sign this right here.
Yes.
He took Prairie City.
Now, he's always been good, really good at the short courses. Like especially when he had that red, or even all the way back to the red when he had the red dragon.
When he had the red dragon, yeah.
He's been great at short course. I mean, not to take anything away from what is 2-3 KOH nice. Wins?
2 KOH.
Okay. So not taking anything away from like the big races, like the longer races, but short courses has been something that he's been really good at for a long time.
Very true. So next one, I mean, is AOP Adventure Off-Road Park.
Yeah. That is a park I want to go to. It looks really fun, really pretty.
I've been there and it's actually huge. It's humongous. It's like 25,000 acres. I can't remember the name, the amount of acreage there.
So,
but it's huge. It's a great place.
Based on what I'm looking at here, I think Eric Miller won it. But what's weird is it says 1,007 points. So I don't know if he had to pay to get those extra 7 points. You know, I don't know.
It's a good question. Yeah.
But based on what I'm seeing here, 1,000 points would be the winner. And it looks like Eric Miller won that. So that's two races in a row that solid axle Miller Motorsports cars won it.
He stays pretty quiet. Yeah. He stays quiet, but he still wins. So yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Eric Miller won AOP. Then let's go to our favorite park, which is close to home. It's about 3 hours from here, would be Visions.
Yep.
Mid-America Off-Road.
Or it's actually Mid-America Outdoors.
Outdoors. That's yes. what it is.
Yeah. But Mid-America Off-Road Park, Mid-America Outdoors, or just Mid-America, you know.
And Ultra 4 USA and everything.
Yeah, it's all based out of there now. And Visions is a double points race.
Yes.
So you win that, instead of 1,000, you get 2,000 points. Which for the next... For 2023, I know they listen to the racers. They change the structure on how they're doing the double points races and races you can drop and stuff like that. Because there were some people that were unsure how they could compete with and have the double points races and try to go after their championships. And I know that Ultra 4 USA listened to them and made some adjustments. And I'm not going to speak on exactly how they did that because I don't know right off my hand, but I do know that they came out after they had their rules package, listened to everybody, and made some adjustments according to that, which I think is a great thing for a sanctioning body to be listening to the racers and willing to adjust things.
That's one thing that I'm really happy about since Mid-America has kind of taken over Ultra 4 and called it Ultra 4 USA. What I am very happy about is they're dealing with JT, and JT fixes the shit that the racers don't like.
Mm-hmm.
They fix it and they make it happen. So who won on Visions?
So Visions, we're looking at 2,000 points. That would be Mr. Paul Wolf. And he also, that same car was doing the uphill racing. They were doing side by side, like rock bouncing. I don't remember what sanctioning body it was under, if it was S or National Rock Racing mm-hmm. or if it was a different one, but he was racing that same car in that that race too.
Yeah, he was running double, triple duty. I remember that week.
And I think he podiumed on that too, I want to say.
I think he did. I can't remember.
He may have won it. I don't remember. But I've always liked it when an Ultra 4 car goes into a rock bouncing event and does well. Derek West used to do that too.
He won Race to Riches the first time Race to Riches ever happened. Derek came in with his 4400 car and whooped everybody's butt.
And there's different fields of thought on what makes a good rock bouncer versus what makes a good Ultra 4 car and how they can or can't cross over. And I like to see it when an Ultra 4 car goes in and actually proves that, or maybe not prove, but shows that, hey, these are very capable cars that can perform in almost any circumstance.
It's a Swiss Army knife. Yeah. That's what we're trying to. Yeah, that's the great thing about an Ultra 4 car. It's a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. You can do anything. So, all right, next race would be the Black Hills Throwdown in Sturgis.
Yes, and I remember watching that, and the course was – it was a long, short course, I'd say. One or two boulder fields.
Yeah.
Really dusty, but it was the last couple laps attrition set in where the cars that were running up front little rollovers and little mistakes like changed the total outcome of it. And who won that? It was Lauren Healy won that one again. But if I remember, he was chasing somebody down or somebody was chasing him down and battling with him. And they ended up making a mistake and Lauren Healy ended up pulling away. And I want to say it was Bailey Campbell.
You're remembering more than I am.
I think she was running right up there and something happened and took her out. If it wasn't her, it would very well could have been someone else, but I want to say she was running right up there and I was rooting for her. And then one little thing happened and kind of took it away. I don't remember if she still podiumed or not, but like the first 3-4 cars, they had pulled away from the field. Everybody else just could not keep up with them. And but Lauren Healy won that. And that's a place I would like to go. Unfortunately, we're not going back there this year for 2023. But that's been a race I've wanted to go to just because you're at the Buffalo Chip, you know.
Oh, the Buffalo Chip. And then, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Crandon Classic.
Yep. That one has some dark clouds over it.
Yeah, it does. And actually, if you go back and listen to our podcast, our last podcast, he named it Kevin. Kevin Taylor named it something. What was it? The chaos at Crandon or something to that effect. We lost one of our best friends there, Mr. Zandy Willems. And not to mention, there were 3 other wrecks, not including his.
Yeah, and not like little wrecks.
No, either. They weren't little wrecks. There were 2 life flights and one that actually, which if you listen to the last podcast, Ian Boyce actually got his wife to drive him to the emergency room and he had a broken back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know all the details. You know, it's one of those things that I would love to know all the ins and outs of what everybody went through. Just to know, like, all right, you know, what happened. But it's also one of those things. I don't want to let my curiosity overstep boundaries where somebody's not ready to talk about stuff yet.
Right.
And especially like I'm not there. I'd be digging information out of people that I don't know. And it's like trying to know my place and not dig into that information.
Yeah.
But from what I know, and not to get any of the details, I do know. But it was. They red flagged the race. They stopped everything.
Yeah. If you go to my YouTube page on See You on the Trail, I actually depict exactly the way that I saw everything happen. And when you go to commercial for 20, 30 minutes, we're all sitting out here in the studio. We're all sitting here. There's 3 or 4 of us hanging out. And they went to commercial for 20, 30 minutes. And I told my girlfriend, Michelle, I said, hey, something's wrong. They wouldn't go to commercial for 30 minutes. There's something wrong. Yeah. And so then I start texting people and it turns out it's Zandy, which is somebody, because the last person on the screen was Rusty Blyler.
Yes.
Last person on the screen is on the side.
On the side in a corner.
Yep. On the side in the corner. And I'm like, I hope it's not Rusty. But and I didn't even think about Zandy because nobody caught Kevin Taylor's wreck. Nobody caught Zandy's wreck.
Yeah, because they were a little bit further back in the pack. Mm-hmm. The cameras were watching the people up front. And even though everybody was still close together, but there's so many corners so quickly that, you know, you can only catch so much action
exactly
on one screen.
So nobody caught that on live feed. Nobody understood it. And my phone started going off whenever that 20-minute break in commercial. And then whenever Jim and Miles came on and said, hey, we don't know anything. We'll let you know when we know something. We knew it was bad. Mm-hmm. So
and they did it very professionally. I think I'm fairly certain that they had an idea what was going on, but you know, in that situation,
you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't do it until somebody. And the next morning, when they started their live feed in Crandon, they went directly to the whole situation that happened last night. Mm-hmm. So I was so proud of that the chaplain did a prayer. They talked about Zandy and how cool. It worked out completely perfect.
And it wasn't even just Ultra 4 racers that were there. It was like the whole driver's meeting. Everybody was there in support.
It was everybody. It was Pro 2s, Pro 4s.
All of their sportsman classes.
Exactly.
Their buggy classes.
All the sportsmen. Everybody was there with Ultra 4, which I thought was completely awesome.
Mm-hmm. I actually misspoke on Sturgis. Learn Healy did not win that. Paul Horschel won that. I believe Healy podiumed, got third, I think. I think maybe he was leading and then got a flat or something, and Horschel ended up reeling him in and passing him, from what I remember.
All right. We can adjust that.
So as I'm going through, I mean, I'm looking at rows, you know, trying to go down, and I crossed over onto Crandon. But on the – so – The night race was, I think, Friday night at Crandon. And they didn't – there was no points or anything for that. It was red flag. They stopped it. But the next day, everybody decided they wanted to go ahead and race. Like, Zandy would want everybody to race. And that was Lauren Healy won
Crandon. Lauren won Crandon. Yeah.
So Lauren did not – just to clarify, he did not win Sturgis. I believe he podiumed, but he did win Crandon. So once again – great at short courses.
Well, hey, we basically met at halfway point.
Cheers.
Territory Whiskey.
Mm. Oh, that's good. Is that a peanut butter? That's a peanut butter whiskey, isn't it?
I don't know. It's good, though.
I don't know. It doesn't say it, but I enjoy that. Like,
it's a liqueur.
I had not had it yet, so... I'm impressed. Okay. Please come on board. Yes.
Okay. We got through Crandon.
Yeah. And over $830,000 paid out in the series, for 2022.
And to be honest,
and that's not counting.
What is, all right.
That is not counting King of the Hammers.
You are correct that it's not, because they're two separate entities now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Can you imagine this? 5 years ago, it was 100,000, maybe?
For the whole year. Yeah. For the whole season, for all three, four classes, you know?
Yep.
And, yeah. And you're not going to, just like most people that are in drag racing and in any motorsport, you're not going to make a living out of doing it. I mean, you can very easily run yourself homeless.
Well, it's
you know,
the one thing I've always been told, how can you make $1 million being a race car driver?
Spend $2 million.
No, start out as a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you end up a millionaire.
Oh, well, I've also heard it the other way, where how do you make $1 million? Spend $2 million.
It's ridiculous. I mean, and you and I have been a part of it for a long time, and it's just, and that's the reason why I like doing media, because it doesn't cost me.
What does everybody here know how you got your nickname?
Oh yeah.
Hits.
We may need to do a we're going to have to do a podcast about how I got my name.
Well, give them a little snippet. Just a little quick. Okay. Here's what I know. I'll do that. So he was trying to get into the media game and was trying to be a part of it and knew some people. And so he would hitch rides to the races. To get there. And, you know, I've done the same thing though. So, I mean, I could very well have the same nickname. Is I don't have much to offer. I can't pay to go with y'all, but what I can provide is help, some knowledge. I can weld, I can work on stuff. I will do whatever needs to be done. I just want to go and be a part of it. And what I have to offer is to be there, work and share my skill set, and hopefully it can be of help. So we've kind of, I mean, a little bit differently, but very similarly, done the same thing. We've hitched rides to races. that's how he got his nickname.
Well, to be honest, let's go ahead. We got 20 more minutes to talk about it. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and put it down. I started out, I looked at trying to get into the racing industry, and I was like, man, it's way too expensive. So a friend of mine, longtime friend, I've met him in 2002, was Derek West.
Mm-hmm.
Derek's like, hey, his car burnt down.
Yes, I remember
In 2010. He wasn't even driving it. His car burnt down. And I called him and I said, hey, Derek, what do you need to be able to get this car back up and going for KOH 2011? And he said, point blank, I need sponsors. I need somebody to help me with this. And I said, I'm down. So I started helping. And from 2010, he took me to SEMA. He took me to KOH in 2011.
Okay.
And then I started hitching rides the whole time. I was hitching rides with him, with other teams and everything else. And then Ultra 4 Nationals was slated to be in New Mexico.
Yes. Or
in New Mexico. And then it got canceled.
And I remember they had to scramble to find a new venue.
And they found a place in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
So I went, I said, hey, Derek called me and said, hey, I don't have a place for you. I got a place for you to sleep, but I don't have a place for you to get there. So he goes, but I do have somebody else, Scooby.
Yep, from Indiana.
Scooby called me and said, I'll pick you up. My guy will pick you up. And I was like, all right. So I got on. I jumped in with him. We went to Phoenix, Arizona. And then Scooby's truck fucked up. Scooby's truck screwed up. So Scooby looked at me and he goes, you're not going to get home till Tuesday. And I said, no, I got to get back to work, dude. I got to get back to Oklahoma. He's like, I don't know. And he jumped in the car and headed to Vegas. That's where Scooby went. He was gone. And I was like, okay. So we were in the Phoenix, Arizona race. I think it was Congress, Arizona is where we were.
Okay.
And we were at that place. And I ran over to Randy Rod. And I said, Randy, are you going to Cortez? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm going home. And I was like, okay, I've got a friend that's in Cortez doing a We Rock event, and I need a ride home because I know he's going to Fort Smith, which is Dwayne.
Yeah, Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, he's passing through Oklahoma. He can give me a ride. So I went from Congress, Arizona to Cortez.
Which is southwestern Colorado.
And I caught a ride to Cortez, got to Cortez, and then I walked up to Dwayne Garrison, and he goes, what's up, Hitch? Hence the name.
been there ever since.
And Dwayne gave me a ride from there to Oklahoma City, and Ape, Aaron Peters, gave me a ride from there to Oklahoma City, or
Oklahoma City to
Norman. To Norman. So that's how I got the name Hitch.
Okay.
So That is the original reason that happened in 2012.
Okay.
Jeez. Man, that's 10 years ago.
No, I was in Afghanistan. Yeah. You know, so I mean, crazy.
So where are we gonna with this? All right.
So Nationals. So what did you think of Nationals?
I love Nationals. I thought it was a really good time. I ended up doing race ops, and the race ops, it wasn't set up specifically to work out great because it was just kind of a throw me into
but
it.
I know by the second day you figured out your, because I was on course working part of the course, and by the second day what I noticed is he found his place, and JT actually handed over most of the communications over to you.
Yep.
To where you were then relaying information, which in my opinion is how it should be. Mm-hmm. Coming from the military side, is you want somebody who's not in control. Their sole job is to pass information back and forth. Like we call them an RTO, or you know, radio operator. Your sole job is to kind of look at the big picture and pass information off. And mm-hmm. and you started doing that.
Yeah, no. As soon as JT gave me that thing, and I went off on it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a blast. Dude.
Well, and instead of him asking like, "Hey, you over at Waterfall, or what'd you say?" He was like, "Hey, Hitch, what are they saying?" Because mm-hmm. you had less, I guess, peripheral noise going on of like race cars and flagging and stuff like that. So you can focus on that. And I thought you did great.
I think it worked.
Besides
out.
Saying repeat on the radio, and, yep. and if you're military, especially in a combat specialty, you know what I'm saying? Like, you never say repeat on the radio unless you're an FO or you know, fires brigade, something like that, like in doing a fire mission. And I actually told him that. He goes, "Oh, okay, that makes sense. I won't say that again." Because me, JT, and I never said repeat. We, you know, say again over, or you came in broken, something like that. You know, another way of saying, can you say that again or repeat that? And so I'm gonna be tallying up, and I don't know, maybe I'll figure out a way for him to pay up every time he says repeat now.
But anyway, no. Other than that, I think we've.
What do you think of, like, okay, not the race, the peripheral stuff going on at Nationals? What do you think of
the
it?
The party?
Well, I mean, they were small,
amazing.
They were small get-togethers, and unfortunately, they were so small that they shut down Main Street in the town that has one road going through it. So, for those of you who don't know, Disney is on the south end, right?
Yes.
Of Grand Lake. Yep. Which is a Grand Lake of the Cherokees.
Yes.
Very large lake. And they have two sets of dams or spillways. And they call Disney an island, right?
Yeah, they call it Disney Island. I don't know.
Well, I know why. It's because you've got the lake. I'm not going to drive you, but you have the lake on the north, and you've got spillways on either side, and then, or the dams on either side, and then south of it, you've got where the dams feed into the spillways. So you got to think, if they were to open the dams up, the only way in and out of that town is through the road across the dam. And if they shut that off, your only way to get anywhere is across the lake. So it's an island.
It is an island. Yeah, no, you're right. You're completely. You've thought about this more than I have.
But they shut down those roads. Like, you could come across the dam on either side, and then you'd have to detour through this island because we were doing our award ceremony, or I say once again, you said it too. We Ultra 4 was doing the award ceremonies. They had Casey Donahue, which, if you like red dirt music, Texas country, he's
that
big.
He,
I think he's over been touring for over 15 years. They shut down and did a free concert of Casey Donahue on Main Street Friday night.
Yep.
Yeah. Nuts.
I lost my Halloween mask that night.
I didn't know you. I never saw your Halloween mask.
Oh, it's on Facebook.
Oh, by the time I got there, yeah.
But I lost it. I'm curious who found it, because I'm sure that they're going to go, where the hell did this come from?
You that VIP trailer that MAO had, you were having a great time. I walked in, I saw everybody, and I was like, I'm going to go stand outside. I was using my own ice chest because I know that would keep me somewhat out of trouble.
But other than that, guys, next podcast, I think we'll figure out what our next podcast is. I think, but we've talked about all the standings. We've done everything at this point in time.
There was a new award they came out with. Do you remember?
Yes, you are correct.
Now,
and this is one thing I didn't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about
it. Oh, you got to warn me on this stuff.
I know. It is what it is. So there was a new award for Ultra 4. And I cried when it came out. And
I think a lot of people did. So Zandy was known. They partied. They worked hard. They partied hard, but would always help out. They told a story, and I'm going to try to shorten it up, and I don't know remember all the details, but somebody's truck broke down somewhere on the way to a race, something along those lines, and they needed help getting it there. And so Zandy said, just threw the keys at someone and said, hey, take it. It's full of fuel. From what I understand, he barely even knew who they were. Didn't know all the details, but just he stepped up and said, hey, I have a way to help. Go take care of it and then just bring it back to me. So because of instances like that, they came up with the it's a sportsmanship award.
Yes.
And it's in memory of Zandy and the Rufus team. And every year it'll be voted on, I want to say throughout the year.
Yes.
And then at the end of every year, it's going to be handed off kind of like the Stanley Cup. It's got spots for names to be stacked up. And so every year there'll be a new name added onto it. And then that trophy would travel every year to a new home. And then come back and go to the new person. And because he was very much a sportsman, he wanted to have fun. He wanted to compete, but he also wanted to help people out and share what he had and show everybody that, you're in this together, you know?
Yeah. No. So yeah, that's a big thing. And I'm glad you circled that because I didn't even think about it, but yeah, it's very, very much true.
And everybody that won, I mean, was well deserved. So we had Josh Blyler and won the national championship in 4400.
Byler, and then
in 4800, which is the Legends, Ryan Taylor. And let's go with modified. So we had Rick Lavezzo.
Lavezzo is growing up, man. He's getting good.
Yeah. He also won the East Championship too. So he was the Eastern Series champion and the national champion. And then in stock class 4600, I mean, those Ford Broncos, they did very well. Like in national point standings, they were 1, 2, 3. And I think in most of the races, they podiumed 1, 2, 3 in different ways. That's insane. And it, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, how can that be a stock vehicle and this and that? And I'm like, no, if you look at it, I mean, they fully fit the rules. It's not like when the modified class first came out and there was two frame rails bolted together underneath an Ultra 4 car with boat cable steering. You know, I'm like, no, these definitely fit the rules. It's just, that's how far it's come. And that class is for the ability of a manufacturer to show what their vehicles can do. It's also there for somebody who wants to come in with fairly inexpensive and compete. But you may do it and be competing against factory backed vehicles. And they've shown that they are very competitive.
So what would you say the Ford Broncos that they're racing?
Yeah.
How much does it cost?
Okay. And that's the thing. That's hard to say because you got to count the development behind it. I mean, because it seems like they developed the Ford Bronco at Johnson Valley, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And so and when they did that, I can only assume that they were thinking ahead, like, hey, we're going to also race these too. So I don't know. I'm going to say each one. I mean, it's a 6-figure car.
It's kind of where I'm at too.
And that's not counting the development of it
prior of
just to be able to build a 6-figure car. So I mean, yeah,
but like Bailey Colt,
yeah,
his 4600 Bronco, how much?
150
thinking.
Yeah, I'm, right. I'm thinking 150,000. Heck, the portals on the front end are probably $20,000. Yeah.
The cool thing is we all get to watch it, though. That's fucking awesome. But anyway.
And so we're just trying to get these champions out of the way. Paul Wolf won the national points for the side-by-sides.
49?
4,900. And also was the Western Series champion and the Eastern Series champion. So why not just wrap it all up in a bow all at once, you know? Because in 4,400, Josh Blyler was also the Eastern Series champion. And then we had Paul Horschel as the Western Series champion. And he has one, two, three, four or five cars that he's built that are racing. Because Lauren Healy's car that's for sale now was originally built by Horschel. Horschel has one or two cars he races. And then there's those guys out of Montana.
No, they're out of Canada. That's
they're not out of Canada, are they?
Yes, they are.
Well,
Brent Harrell. It's a Harrell. Yeah, Brent and Brent Harrell.
Yeah, they have a 4,800 and a 4,400.
Yeah, and a 4,400. That's Brent and Brett Harrell.
Brent actually won the Nationals race.
Yes, he did. He did win the Nationals race.
And then, so 4,800, we had the Western Series champion as Stephen Rose. Stephen Rose Jr.
Steve Rose. All right.
And then Ryan Taylor was all that the national champion was also the Eastern Series champion. And then in stock class, we had Brad Lovell, which won the national series, was also the Western Series champion. And then Vaughn Gittin Jr.
Vaughn's still kicking it, dude. He's still,
which is great. He, once again, you know, going back to what we talked earlier about, he's doing this for a living. He's from Western United States, but he won the Eastern Series championship. So then we go to, so we've covered, 4,900 and then the 4,500, Rick Lavezzo, which won the national championship, won the East championship. And then Sean Rantz,
Sean and Kevin, dude. Yeah. That's awesome.
He won the Western Series and he's doing that. I mean, I would say, I wouldn't say any of the modified classes drivers are big budget guys.
No, they're not. They're not.
They
even Sean and Kevin aren't big budget guys.
No. They were driving, if I remember right, because they've got the red and white Ford Bronco bodied vehicle.
Yes.
With Milestar tires. They were driving around with their side by side, and of course it was Halloween at Disney, and they had two skeletons in the back. Yes. And I think every day things kept getting added to the skeletons. They had PBR cans in each hand. Yeah. They kept getting beads and all that stuff. And I had a double take because they had them strapped to the back like they were sitting in the back of the side by side, and every day something got added to it. But that's part of the fun of Ultra Four is you come out and you'll see some stuff, and it's not like. It's very family friendly. You're going to come out, see some great stuff, see some great racing, and thoroughly enjoy it, in my opinion.
No, you're getting all the nuts and bolts down here. Nuts and bolts of it. That's basically what it boils down to. Let's talk about this new season. What are we going to do with that?
So we've got the new schedule is out. Now things may change. I mean, it's middle, end of November right now. First race is beginning of February. So some of the stuff may get adjusted. We don't know. But as of right now, we've got King of the Hammers February 2nd to the 11th, which is a Burning Man for off-road racing almost. I mean, it's nuts. Going back to Rush Off-Road. So Rush Off-Road again, April 20th through the 23rd. Do you know anything about this Montana? That's the Yellowstone off-road racing.
Yes, Yellowstone. Erin Marie on my Facebook that's actually one that she's actually part of.
Okay.
So it's a big area. It should be fun. It's going to be.
They did it a couple years ago, didn't they?
They've ran your twice, I think.
Okay.
So, but which it should be good.
It's cool to see off-road organizations that aren't just like in Southern California, Nevada, even up in
Montana.
Would that be Northwestern United States or North Midwest?
Yeah.
North Central United States?
North. Dude, that's what it is.
I almost said Southern Canada, but it definitely not like we're free down here. And, that's a cool, it's a desert race up there pretty much. It's just probably a little bit colder. Visions.
I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna work my butt off to be there. I don't know if
I'm planning on it too. Like I've said, JT, I'm here for whatever you need. Like, bring me on. And that is, it's a week long, another kind of off road festival. Like every day, from what I understand, is a different type of racing. And
to be honest, that park is, it's a destination. It's not just a place to go race.
Well, don't they have like a lazy river?
They have a lazy river. They have two pools. They have a splash pad.
Like when the last race we did at Buzz of the Red Dog, Buzz, and down there at Compromise, they just put a pool in, and we had a pool party there. Like we thought that was the coolest thing, and this was like a residential pool that we were packed. It's not near what, from what I understand.
Oh, it's 10 times better than, as much as I love Raymond Moody and Cheryl and everybody else. This is way better. This is so awesome, dude. You have no idea. They have Wi-Fi available that you can plug into.
Why would you plug into Wi-Fi?
Well, okay, you can get internet. You can get internet there, like at your camping spot. That you just nuts. Plug it in, and it and you have camping. You have the then let's not talk about the steakhouse. The pro shop, the coffee shop.
Then they just open up a bar on site.
Another bar. There's like three bars on site.
I forget. Do you remember? They talked about the
coconuts.
Name.
Coconuts?
Yeah.
Coconuts. Coconuts is a steakhouse.
Oh, I thought that was the bar too. No, so they have a different.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And that's like probably a 15-minute walk or a 3-minute drive.
Okay.
From the pro shop where Coconuts is all the way to the other spot.
Okay.
I went to Visions 2 years ago,
which was I think the first year.
The first year they did Visions,
and I remember at the date that was actually like a week and a half. It was.
No, I spent 9 days
there. Yeah,
I spent 9 days there, and they had a piano bar right there in the bar in the area.
Was it dueling pianos?
Yes, they had dueling pianos right there, and it was freaking awesome. And I spent 9 days there with no air conditioning with Custom Splice, which, by the way, thank you, Custom Splice.
I use all of their stuff on my vehicles. Like, I don't use any other winch accessories.
Yeah, no, Custom Splice actually sponsors this. I keep forgetting to tell them that. But we did now.
Check that box.
Yeah, I checked the box up. We're good to go. Oh, that was Todd right there. Damn it. All right.
But they also have, from what I understand, they have cabins, they have hookups, and then they have like primitive camping too.
Yes.
But any of those, like any, if you're camping, staying at the park at all, you get access to the pools and the
Well, and
river.
Not to mention, if you go to take a shower, you take a shower and then you walk out and there's a lady sitting right there outside of it, ready to clean it. That's the way they do it. The park is premier. It is one of the best parks in the nation.
Well, and they're doing like working on expanding it too.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they got Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, they've released some stuff. Dennis Anderson, the owner of and originator of Gravedigger, I saw a picture on Facebook. He was there. I'm not sure exactly what all they're planning on, but they're working on some stuff there.
The funny thing was 2 years ago, I walked into the pool. It was like 10:30 at night. This is the funniest thing. I walk in at like 10:30 at night because I just got there. And I'm sitting there talking to people, and I've got my jeans on. I'm just chilling out. All of a sudden, I get squirted in the back by water. And I'm like, who the – is Dennis Anderson going, hey, by the way, if you're in the pool, you need to get into the pool. And he made me get into the pool. So it was really cool.
You never told me you've met Dennis Anderson before.
Oh, dude, I got pictures of him.
Oh, he's like one of my heroes. Okay, all right.
No, he was a very cool, laid-back dude. He's – Dude, Dennis Anderson.
I would definitely fangirl over Dennis Anderson.
So, anyway, all right. I guess we're going to go closing now.
Let's finish this next year's schedule.
Okay. All right. Schedule for 2023 is where we're at.
So, after June 14th through the 18th of Visions, then we go July 27th to 30th, Pottsville, Pennsylvania at Famous. Sorry, my phone's a little messed up. Famous Reading or Famous Reading? I'm assuming it's Famous Reading Outdoors. I've I overheard someone saying like it's a nice place.
Cool.
But that's all I know about it. But it is in Pennsylvania, which there hasn't been a race that far east in a while. Like they used to run at
Roush.
Yeah. Creek. Yep. Yep. So that's good for the east guys. I think it's good to really put.
We need to make it nationwide.
Yeah. Put some races that aren't just like, because it's been before where the Eastern Series races were in Oklahoma. Yep. Like that is in dab in the middle of the United States. Like, and then like Moab would be like an East and West series. Like how is Moab in the East of anything? So yeah, I like that we're getting races all over.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to Crandon, Wisconsin again. Which is another great thing. There's all types of racing there. That's one of my bucket list places.
It is a bucket list. I've never been there. So I need to go do that.
And then next year, the race at Disney, Grand Lake is not nationals.
Right.
Now they're still going to do it. And I'm assuming it's still going to be a big race. It is an East and West race, which makes sense because it's in the middle, you know, but I'm curious about his finals.
Where are they saying finals is?
Lake Havasu.
I've heard that. Actually, JT called me and told me Lake Havasu. Yeah, he goes, it's going to be off the hook.
That's what they're calling Legends. So for right now, this year and 2023, Legends of the Fall is labeled as nationals, unless that's a misprint. But Lake Havasu is nationals. And I'm curious about
JT
that.
Tells me it's going to be off the hook. So
as far as I know, there's not an off-road park there or a venue at all.
I have no idea.
I'm assuming that there's wheeling around there because it is Arizona. There's beautiful wheeling there. One of the places I want to go wheel, but I'm really curious on how that's going to come together. And I can only assume it's going to be off the hook.
It should be good.
Yeah.
It should be fun. But so we're done with that.
Yeah. Done with the schedule for next year. So yeah,
this is the next episode of See You on the Trail. We've introduced Mr. Seth Brown. Done a great job. We kind of winged it and did it.
Yeah, so. I mean, him and I, we bullshit a lot and talk, and so we're just we kind of thought, hey, it'd be a good fit to just kind of do the same thing on the podcast.
Do the same thing with the little lights and everything else. So, hey, by the way, Territory. We really want Territory whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, we'll see you on the trail.
Cheers. Oh, it's so smooth.
That's fucking awesome.
I am impressed. I that's dangerous.
That's why I did that.
It's pecan cinnamon.
You're pecan cinnamon.